This episode of the Disney Nerds Podcast is brought to you by DVC Resale Market. DVC Resale Market has become the leader in the DVC resale industry. They have sold over $400 million in DVC Vacation Club and have over 100 years of combined direct DVC experience. If you're looking to buy or sell, DVC Resale Market wants to put their knowledge and world-class service to work for you. Contact our friend Nick Cotton over at DVC Resale Market at www.dvcresalemarket.com.
Welcome to the splendor, the spectacle, the sparkling sensation, where the romance, the comedy, and the thrill of Disney fantasies come to electric life.
And as our friend Jiminy said, welcome. Welcome to the Disney Nerds Podcast, a place each week where like-minded people get together to discuss all things Disney. We'll help you get your Disney fix on. Here we go.
A Magic Kingdom proudly presents, in a million points of musical light, the magical worlds of Disney.
Hello and welcome to show number 406 of the Disney Nerds Podcast. Hey guys, welcome back to the show. This is Ed, and on tonight's show, we're going to be talking about the new attraction at Epcot, Remy's Ratatouille Adventure. With us tonight to discuss that, we have Melissa. Hey Melissa, how's it going?
Hey everyone, excited to talk about Remy.
Oh, we can't wait. And the important guest, because she's been on it, is Lisa. Hey Lisa, how's it going?
Hey, Ed. Hey, Melissa. How are we doing tonight?
Doing good.
I'm so excited that you have been able to get on. How many times now, Lisa?
I was able to ride it 4 times. And I probably could have ridden it more, but I really wanted to enjoy some of the other offerings the area had.
Yeah, awesome. Of course, there's so many things going on right now between food and wine and the new creperie.
Right. I actually... believe it or not, I was there before the park was even open, so I haven't even experienced food and wine yet. So, but yes, it was a fun weekend. This was this past weekend, and I really enjoyed it.
Awesome. So now this is Ratatouille, which was supposed to be opening up in October, we last heard, and they're doing early previews. So, what kind of preview was this?
So they did. I know that they had done the media preview, I believe, on Friday, but I'm a D23 Gold member, and nice. They announced that they were going to do a D23 preview of Remy's Ratatouille Adventure, so on September 4th and September 5th, and I thought to myself, well, the day that the tickets go on sale, I'll sit here and I'll see if I can't get, you know, an opportunity for Angela and I to go on either Saturday morning or Sunday morning. Word on the street was that it was going to sell out pretty quickly, and that was what I had heard. I had heard within 5 minutes it had sold out, but I was lucky enough to have Angela sit next to me, and she checked for Saturday, and I checked for Sunday, and we both ended up having the opportunity to get tickets. So her and I went Saturday, and Jimmy was in town, and Jimmy and I went Sunday. So I did have the opportunity to go 2 days in a row.
Now, when you say tickets, explain that a little bit more for me.
Certainly, it was a paid event. So it was just a D23 paid event. It almost felt like I was... Melissa, have you done any of the races, any of the Run Disney races?
I have not.
Yeah, that's what it felt like when we pulled in. So you get to the Epcot Wonder parking lot at 6:30, 6:45 in the morning, and you check in, and they give you a lanyard, and they give you your itinerary, your time to go to La Creperie, and they bus you backstage.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, so they bussed us all the way around to the International Gateway. We got out, we went through security, and then we walked up and over. So by the time, believe it or not, Saturday was a little bit different than Sunday. So on Saturday, we had a little bit more freedom. We got there a little bit earlier. So we were there probably at around 10 past 7, 7:15, and watched the sunrise come over World Showcase Lagoon, which was really nice. And that's what it's like when you run a Run Disney event at Epcot, is when you're, in my case, you're walking around World Showcase, because I'm not running anywhere unless somebody's chasing me. and even then, I could contemplate whether or not I'm going to lose my life. There's something really magical about World Showcase Lagoon early in the morning. I think they're missing an opportunity there to do like an early morning ticketed event.
Right. Well, they used to have so many different things between the tours and the segues and stuff like that that took advantage of the mornings. But yeah, I agree.
It is. So we were able to sit there. We walked up and over the bridge and into the France Pavilion, where they had coffee and tea, water, orange juice, and, you know, naturally we're in France, a croissant.
Oh,
you could, nice. You could have something to eat.
So and now then, there was no, but, I was going to say, because the last time I saw France, it was pretty congested because it was basically kind of blocked off for somewhat. You can come into to the beginning of France off the bridge, but you really couldn't go into the area behind it. So
meaning wrapped around to the right side and around.
Right. So everything's opened up.
Yeah. Certainly that has opened up. I think right now you're still going to struggle to get past that arcade until October 1st when it fully opens up.
Gotcha.
Because right now they're still... it's annual pass preview time. So on September 19th, we have annual pass previews as well, that we made reservations for.
Nice.
So we can go and experience that area again and experience the attraction.
And again, where'd you make the reservations?
The annual pass preview, I got sent an email. The D23 event was at D23.com.
Gotcha. Okay. Well, very cool.
So it gave us an opportunity to really hang out and enjoy the ambiance, get ourselves a cup of coffee, a croissant. We sat in front of the fountains. Part of the event was that we had the pleasure of viewing the footage that is used for... it's just kind of really tough to explain. At first, it was explained to us that it was essentially like what they show cast members. The Imagineers show cast members that'll be working in the area.
Oh, like an education or a...
Like an educational video.
Okay, sure.
It's also something that they put into the archives. So that way, you know, in the event that it needs to be duplicated in, you know, Shanghai, this is where what they turned back to.
Gotcha. And where did you watch this?
This we watched right where you watched the Beauty and the Beast sing-along. So in that incredibly...
In the theater.
Incredibly uncomfortable theater. Yes, for 45 minutes. They put together this thing. And it was a great presentation because it starts off about World Showcase and what World Showcase means, which is about bringing, you know, people of different cultures together. And then they went into the France... Pavilion, and they talked about the details that went into how the Imagineers came up with what France was going to look like and what they were going to use and what little pieces and the street signs and what the street signs meant and the arcade sign, which is also the same sign that they use for Ratatouille around the backside, is what their underground or their subway system, that piece is mimicked after. So you saw some of the same benches that you see in the parks, you see in France, you see there. Like, there's a lot of, they just really showed you the details.
So now, is this the details from the original France design way back when, or is this the mm-hmm. update for Ratatouille?
Nope, this is the details of the original France design.
Oh, cool.
So you really
nice.
Got a piece of history, right? You know, we're talking however many years ago. At this point, what are we looking at?
Yeah, I know it's been a while. And I was just going to say, too, and I don't remember ever hearing like the background stories of some of the countries. I mean, Morocco stood out and Norway because it was the last. But a lot of the stories behind the countries, I'm sure, are going to be hopefully coming out like this one is.
Yeah, I mean, this was fantastic because, it brought they talked to you about, you know, why World Showcase is World Showcase. And they talked to you about like what the Imagineers did, where they went, where they got their inspiration from for the France Pavilion. And then they talked about, they explained it as Act 1, Act 2, Act 3. And for them, Act 1 is the pavilion and Act 2 is the transition. So in most cases, the transition is from the real world of France or Paris, which is what the pavilion is based on, to... you're kind of going down that back alleyway, and now you really need to be transported into what Remy's Paris was like, right? So that's what you're looking at. So you go from a very real Paris with, you know, Imagineers want you to have a very real Paris experience out front to a very fictional Paris experience as you're walking down that back side and turn the corner.
So do they do that by signage and things like that, or is it even more subtle?
I think it's just even more subtle. They talk, they painted some frescoes. They did some artwork on the street signs. They started, some of the street signs have the details that you'd see in Paris, but as you get around to the backside, they don't have the same detail because it's that fictional world.
Right.
And that would make sense why the fountain that we've seen pictures of has, it's like a two or three tiered fountain that looks very traditional European, but instead of, cherubs or wolves or something, you've got little mice holding wine bottles, parching water. And I think that was a cute transition.
Yes. And so that's, we have been on our World Showcase Lagoon tour. Ed, I think that you were there for that.
Right.
And they talk about each country having a water feature. And we know that the water feature in France is the one that's leading right up to the theater. But this is also a secondary water feature that leads up to Remy's Ratatouille Adventure. And they wanted it to be something completely different. And they wanted it to be like him standing on pots and pans. And we saw the drawing of that. And that to me, I was like, wow, okay, that would have been really cool. But they then went back to that, like what you say, Melissa, that classic European fountain, but then gave it those, Remy touches, right? Sure. You're looking at all of Remy and all of his friends and the champagne bottles, which is what they are. Each of those bottles that shoots water out has an aerator in them. To make it seem like it's champagne coming out of the bottle.
Wow, so it's bubbly. Very cool. Uh-huh. I saw some pictures and video of that fountain, and it was great. I thought of the Muppets fountain right away, just because it had the odd... You had to look closely, and the closer you looked, the more you saw.
So the other thing is, so that fountain was designed... I'm going to ruin this. You want to talk about doing some research or paying attention. The person who designed that fountain was from Pixar. It was a Pixar animator. So there's a little ribbon underneath one of the bowls that has a picture of a rat. And each picture is different. And it's meant so that if you were to lift that up and spin it, that rat is animated.
Oh.
So it actually has an animated feature to it. That's the homage to Pixar and the animation piece.
Oh, very cool.
Oh, neat.
I'm liking how there's so many different Easter eggs running around this thing.
There is, and there was, of course, the health inspector. When you come around the corner, the health inspector office is right there. And that piece of it. And that's something I probably wouldn't have seen. I will tell you, and I probably shouldn't, but I really want everybody to check it out. One of my favorite Easter eggs is... once you get underneath the arcade, right, underneath the overhang and just to the left of the fountain is a wine shop, and it's Ego's wine shop. And the bottles in the window, there's, you know, a cluster, there's 1, 2, 3 clusters, and then a group together. And each of the three clusters has three different dates on them. One is 2007, the next is 2014, and the third one is 2021. And each of those dates means something. 2007 is when the movie came out.
Mm-hmm.
2014 is when Remy's Ratatouille Adventure opened in Paris.
Oh, there you go.
And 2021 is when Remy's Ratatouille Adventure opens up right here in Walt Disney World.
Nice. That's a good one. You see, now it's going to be really cool down the road.
I liked that they added the bikes and the moped for the two characters. I thought that was a nice touch that they added those right outside the restaurant.
Yeah, those are the part when you come out of the attractions. What's really interesting, because they're limited on space back there, you walk into the, where you walk in to the attraction, the exit is literally right to the left. So as you're coming out, that's, you see the mopeds, but before you even go in, if you look left, you can see them right there and the bikes, and it's a great setup. They did a really, really fantastic job with this area. And one of the things that I said when I was there both days was I could really just sit back here and people watch.
Yeah, that's a nice new area to do that. Now, I think we've been seeing this area for the past 2 years, I feel like, because it's been viewable from the Skyliners.
Yes, absolutely. And I'm always, you know, I'm always excited about a new attraction, but I'm sometimes even more excited about a new area. And this area is stunning. It's enjoyable, and it has something that I would argue is pretty hard to find in Walt Disney World.
Free food?
A decent amount of shade.
Oh, very nice.
It's got a decent amount of shade back there because it's nestled right back. There's a wall up to your left. There's a wall up to your right. So there's really, they've done a good job. It's not too dark, but there's a decent amount of shade.
Okay. Well, very nice. And you said there's a lot of like sitting space and hanging out space. So that's very cool. So how far back do you have to go before the line starts for the ride?
So this is actually kind of interesting, and it's a really good point to make. I didn't find that the queue was all that long at all.
Was it because the previews you're going on, you think?
No, this queue, the majority of, I would say half of the queue is outside.
Right, that like metal lattice work that we've seen from the Skyliner?
Yes.
Like you could kind of like
that back and forth. Those are all switchbacks.
Okay.
And then once you get inside, you really go back and forth in two rooms before you end up in that. And for you, Ed, you know, because you've been to Paris, you end up in that rooftop setting with the Gusto lit up sign.
Right.
After that, you pick up your glasses and you weave your way, you know, through to the attraction. The line itself really isn't all that long. There is, at one point I was like, maybe I'm just missing a piece of the line. You know, sometimes they rush you through and I need to slow down and just see if there's an extension. No, there really wasn't an extension. Where the majority of the line will be outside.
Gotcha.
Does the line length feel like Rise of the Resistance, which is a virtual queue, and we expect that Remy's will be a virtual queue as well?
Yeah, maybe. I think part of Rise of the Resistance queue, though, I think there's a lot I haven't seen with Rise of the Resistance queue. I feel like that could come outside a heck of a lot more than experience.
Okay. Right.
This, I was able to walk over to the queue because that's, you know, there's some hidden gems over where the switchbacks are. So mm-hmm. I actually walked over there and took some pictures of some things. And I mean, you're talking about maybe 7 or 8 switchbacks.
You know, that's not a bad thought, Melissa. I'm giving it some more like brain power there as far as maybe this is the first queue designed for a virtual attraction.
Yeah, it's entirely possible.
Or they just have something not seen that you just pop it open and have a bigger line. But I kind of agree with what you're saying there. Now, the area in Paris was such that when you walked down the hill, you came up to the Ratatouille line or the ride, And I guess you did have enough room if the line did come out past where those metal switchbacks were and you know, things like that. It'd be interesting to see.
And I know that those were all filled up during the first day or two of annual pass previews. The reason being that I think one, I had seen pictures, and two, somebody had told me that they had waited a while because they had some technical difficulties, like most places do when you're trying to roll something out or go through the learning, the growing pains of opening up an attraction.
Yep, very much so. Okay, so tell us about the queue. Well, actually, before we even get into the queue, what was the big announcement in the front of the attraction that you showed everybody? Because we had our lightning lane, we had our standby lane, and what else did we have?
So the one of the cool things about this attraction, first of all, yes, it is a lightning lane. We all know it's going to be lightning lane, but they actually have a fast pass sign. It actually did say fast pass. I was like, interesting.
They probably ordered that before the change.
Yeah, I had asked them what direction the lines went in, because again, I was looking for that ulterior line direction that would suck up people, and I wasn't seeing it. So I had asked them, where each of the lines had gone. And even the cast member was like, "Well, the fast pass line." And I looked at her; she goes, "The lightning lane line." I said, "Right, because it's going to be the lightning lane line." So there are three. There's a standby queue. There is your lightning lane or your fast pass, if you're having a hard time embracing. And I get it and understand. Mm-hmm. And then the third piece, which Ed and I really find incredibly exciting, I imagine most people will as well, and that is there's a single rider line.
Yay.
I think it makes a lot of sense because it's two rows of three.
Is correct. Yep.
Yeah, it's much like Test Track. It's two rows of three.
Yeah, right. So it's really appropriate for that.
And Test Track flies, usually, single rider line, which I just mess myself up next time I go. But, it does usually fly.
Lisa, is there a height requirement for the ride?
No, there is not.
Really? Excellent. That's awesome.
I was surprised. I thought that it would be at least maybe 40 inches or something. Because I think that Spider-Man, which is kind of similar setup to the Spider-Man over at Universal, where it's this 3D, you're in a vehicle moving around with live things and screens. That has a height requirement, I'm pretty sure. So that's nice to hear.
Yeah, I there were people there that had little kids, and they were going on it.
Nice. I was equating this to Mickey's and Minnie's Railroad, as far as the more and more I saw it and I thought about it, it kind of matched that almost.
It is incredibly similar to Mickey and Minnie's Runaway Railway.
And I was going to save this for later, but even just the ride, like as you get on the ride, you're all together in the beginning, and then everybody just freaks out and separates. Kind of the same. It's awesome.
Yep. And I don't know whether or not this was something you were aware of when you wrote it in Paris, Ed, but each of the mice, or the rats, if you will, each of your ride vehicles has a different personality.
Oh, no, I didn't know that.
Yeah, so one goes kind of slow, another one spins a lot, and like another one goes pretty fast.
Oh, cool.
Jumps out. So each of them kind of has a different personality.
Right.
So there's a rewrideability there, I suppose.
That's what I was thinking, yeah.
Are you able to tell the difference in getting on what your ride is going to be like?
I didn't know what it was going to be like until it started. And once it started, I remember the first one, we got almost a slow one because I had, one of the car in front of me flew and took off, and then the other one kind of spun away, and then it was us picking up the rear. And then the next time we got on, we were spinning. I was like, oh, this is the spinny one.
Do the mice themselves look different? Like as you're
they're different colors.
Oh, okay.
Okay, well here's the next big question then. Does the same mouse keep the same personality, or is this just something programmed to be random every ride? Like perhaps that same mouse could be the wild one the next time, and the same mouse could be the quiet one next time, or the slow one?
It's a good question. I actually think that each color has its personality.
Okay. Cool.
So we could learn that and figure out, you know, I really want to be on this mouse or that one, almost like Soren.
Right.
Okay. Right.
Can you put me on the orange mouse or put me on the, you know, brown mouse? Cool. Okay, so well, now, I'm sorry, go ahead.
So I would say absolutely it has some definite similarities to Mickey and Minnie's Runaway Railway. You're not the first person, Melissa, to compare it to Spider-Man to me. I will tell you, after I got off it for the first time, I was like, all right, that's not how I wouldn't use Spider-Man as a comparison. I would use Mickey and Minnie's Runaway Railway as a comparison.
Because of the thrill factor, like it's not quite as jostly, or
yeah, it's not jostly at all. I don't find it very jostly at all.
That's good to know.
Yeah, it'll be a great family ride.
Yeah, the best part about it, and we're going to hear much more about it as we continue on, of course, is just that the rewritability, and you're already explaining some of the things I didn't know about it, which makes it even better, but just being able to see everything, and just the way the rats kind of go in different directions. So sometimes you're not going to see that part of the refrigerator, perhaps, or things like that.
There's so much to see and so much to look at. And you talk about the refrigerator. I just think in two or three of the bigger scenes there's so much to see and so much to look at. Mm-hmm. And then let's not take away the fact that it's a 4D experience. So something that I missed the first day, wholeheartedly missed, was the smell of fresh baked bread.
Oh, yeah.
I told, and Jimmy was like, oh, that's French bread. And I'm like, oh, yeah, that is French bread. Like, I totally missed that the first day. It had totally escaped me that it is a 4D experience.
Yeah, that's always pleasant. That's nice. For as long as it lasts.
Right, for as long as it, for as long as it lasts.
Okay, so this attraction has a short queue. How was the loading area? Like, was it pretty much they're loading you into everybody's waiting on one line, or are they splitting you up? Or
no, they're splitting you up. There is actually two different systems going on at the same time. So you can either go, there are three mice to the left or three mice to the right. And they each go off in their own different directions.
It's kind of like an L-shaped area, right?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. The first thing that really hit me in Paris was when we got up to there, the way the cars moved. They were so synchronous and working together, and you automatically knew right away these things were programmed, and it was going to be pretty cool.
Yeah, I would say if I rode it when you rode it, I would be really enamored by the technology. Now that I've been on mm-hmm. Rise of the Resistance and I've been on Mickey and Minnie's Runaway Railway, two definitely trackless experiences, that I really, it's almost like an omnimover to me.
Right. Well, you're getting used to it now, which is good.
It's more comfortable to me. I'm not so like, wow, what just happened? Mm-hmm. I don't have that experience anymore. Now it's about paying attention to what's going on around me versus
right.
me being the super dork that I am and trying to figure out how this is working.
Sure. That's all of us now. And people have compared this in the past, and I just want to stop that to Ellen's Energy Adventure, because that was a trackless attraction that's been around for a long time, you know, no longer there, but nothing close to it. That was trackless, but those were just cumbersome, old, you know, very slow moving vehicles. This is very, very nice. I would love to see the programming that goes into it, just how it looks on screen.
Yeah.
Okay, so after loading, what's the next thing we're seeing? Take us through it a little bit.
Yeah, look at the load. Once you go through the rooftops of Paris, and then there's Chef Gusteau, who's letting you know that there's an adventure on your way. And then you come into this room, and that is where you see you're on top of the restaurant, and Remy's there, and he's really trying to explain to you that he's going to make something for you. Is it going to be an omelet? No. Is it going to be, you know, what is it going to be? And then they come up with the idea, let's make ratatouille. And that's when you fall through the glass window and right into the kitchen. And now you're a rat in the kitchen. Uh-oh. So your adventure begins. And that is, you know, essentially it's just a wild little adventure around the kitchen, in the walls of the kitchen, mm-hmm. in the fridge, underneath the stove.
That's my absolute favorite, because you look up and you see the flames come on and it gets hot. It's really, really nice under there.
Yep. So underneath the stove, that's a lot of fun. And you end up making your way out to Remy's personal restaurant, where obviously he's welcomed you into his area, and you're there for dinner or for a meal.
Lisa, is there a, did you learn something in the video about how the Imagineers are explaining or kind of shrinking you as a guest from your human size to mouse size and then mouse size back to human size? I kind of think of Midway Mania, where you start realizing you're getting smaller and smaller and these toys are becoming, you know, ginormous, so you must now be a toy. Is there something similar like to that in this ride, in the queue?
No, it's pretty tragic. It happened, not tragic, but tragic might actually be pretty close to the right word. It happens right away. And if you don't pay attention to it, you don't know what happened.
Oh, okay.
It's really right before you get on to, you know, right before you get on the actual ride vehicle, you have now just dropped to the size of a mouse or at the size of a rat. And after you get off, you put your glasses in the thing, and that's and the tile on the floor is so big. And as you come around the corner, the tile on the floor goes from so big to back to normal size, as if you were a human. And at that point, that's when you transition back to being human size.
Interesting.
Nice. Now, I did see a bunch of this, and the exit is almost as fun as getting onto the ride, because the mice or the rats kind of do their own thing before they dock. And that's the best way I could say it, is that they dock at the exit where you then get off.
Yes. So you're sitting there kind of in a holding pattern, and then you make your way over to where you would disembark the attraction.
Mm-hmm. So now that's the big difference between this and Paris, though, and it's an unfortunate one, is that right there, as you get off, that big blank wall was a restaurant. So it was basically the glass you looking through into a restaurant at the end of the ride. And I want to say it had to be Ratatouille themed. So that was kind of nice.
I thought it's Remy's restaurant.
Oh, I'm sure it was then. Well, and I'm sure it just kind of ties into the end of the ride, too. Right. Which was cool, because that's another one of those scenes you have to look at a couple times, because there's a lot going on with all the different rats and mice and stuff going on in the restaurant.
Uncool. Oh, yes, for sure. Once you're off the attraction, for us, we just then had the opportunity to check out the La Creperie de Paris. There's a walk-up window. It is set up like it is a sit-down restaurant, but they did list it as a quick service restaurant when we were during the presentation. We were told it was a quick service restaurant.
Could be one of those lunchtime quick service, dinner time sit down.
Maybe it's definitely tough to realize. But this is, you know, there's hard ciders and wine and. You have dessert crepes, which is what we had. We had a red berry crepe and we had the hazelnut crepe, and that's what we had the opportunity to have as part of our experience. Hmm. They also have savory crepes. They have like a ham and cheese crepe, and they have, so I was able to get a picture of that menu. They have a prefixed meal where you can have an alcoholic beverage, a savory crepe, a dessert crepe, and like that looked really good. Along with a salad or a soup. So you can definitely make a meal out of going to that
Oh, that sounds awesome. Now, I tell you what, guys, once I put this up on the website, I'll throw a picture of the menu up there. You can take a look at it.
Is ABC Commissary the restaurant that it's technically quick service, right? You go up and you order and then you sit down and they bring you your food? Is that?
Yes, they recently just transitioned that restaurant to that, but only at night.
I wonder if this isn't the same way, because some of the commercial advertisement things that I had seen for the restaurant, it has a waitress at the table taking an order. So it would seem like it's like sit down, but it's odd that they're saying, no, this is quick service. So I wonder if it's some sort of blend like what ABC Commissary has gone to.
Sure. And even Be Our Guest does that. I think where it was lunchtime that they would deliver to you. You would just get your sodas and sit down at the table and then they would somehow find you. I can't remember the details.
Cool. I think that's convenient for lunch, right? Like, it's not quite so stressful of like going up and trying to juggle all this food and bringing it back and trying to find a table. It's a little bit more relaxing. And I think it's more of a French experience that you have that more relaxing type meal than trying to have a quick service. I think that would fit very well for the French motif.
Very nice. So is there anything else major about the new area that's opened up that we need to check out?
No, I don't think that there's anything outside of that. I just really, what I would really recommend to people is slow down. And I think that that's something that we say frequently.
Sure.
There were definitely things, and I tell people to slow down all the time. There were definitely things I would have walked by had I not had the opportunity to experience that Imagineer video.
Well, I hope we're going to see that on Disney Plus eventually, or at least parts and bits of that. No?
Nope. They made it clear. This is not something that you will ever see on Disney Plus. The guy that did the presentation has actually been on behind the attraction.
Mm-hmm.
And it's truly just for their educational purposes.
Well, I'm so happy that we were lucky to have you basically sit in on that and share it with us. That's great.
I wish, I have an immense amount of respect for the rules at Walt Disney World. And they did a lot of, I was going to audio record it. And then I thought, can I audio record it? And then a big thing came up on the screen that said no pictures and no video recording. And then it said no recording, period. And I immediately was like, well, then I'm not going to do it.
Right.
I'll try to go it based on memory, just because I want to make sure that the integrity of what it is that they're trying to do there really holds.
Oh, yeah, no doubt. Now, I tell you what, this might be worthwhile for us to do a walkthrough down the road. The next time we're all together at Epcot, a walkthrough of the Ratatouille area, perhaps, and then go over some of the things that you were basically told all about.
Yeah, absolutely.
Nice.
No, thanks for sharing, Lisa. I'm so happy that you got to experience that, and especially the video. Yeah, I'd love to do a tour through that area and see if you remember any other pieces of information. So it's always really neat to hear.
Absolutely. I mean, I'm old, so I don't remember much these days, but
well, that's always
I
good.
Can certainly put it to the test.
You can just start making back. Things up.
So now what we're going to do next is I'm going to play the audio. Jimmy had some great recordings of the queue and the attraction itself. Now, not a lot of talking, so it's going to be more along the lines of just like the surround sound and things you're hearing as you're going through the attraction. Once you ride it, you'll be able to listen to this and it'll sound so much better. Check out the Disney Nerds YouTube page because we will have that video up as soon as we get it ready.
Here they are, Remy. Des invités pour le dîner.
Yes, but what to prepare? Huh? Pour le repas idéal. Coco vin? No. A simple omelette? Too simple.
Voilà.
Mais oui, that's it.
Oui, petit chef.
Il va aussi me falloir rapidement 4 ratatouilles pour la 4.
On enlève, maintenant.
Oui, ma chérie.
Hey, they made it.
Ils sont de retour.
Enfin.
Hey, thanks for coming, everyone. Vous serez toujours les bienvenus, cher Amy. À bientôt et bon appétit.
Et Mio?
Oh.
Au revoir.
Si vous restez à la traîne, vous ne verrez jamais ce qui vous attend. Au revoir.
Veuillez rassembler vos affaires et descendre en faisant attention à la marche.
Okay, be sure to grab all your stuff and watch your step as you exit. Goodbye.
Veuillez rassembler vos affaires et descendre en faisant attention à la marche.
Okay, be sure to grab all your stuff and watch your step as you exit. Goodbye.
Okay, guys. So that's it for show number 406. Another new attraction at Epcot. This is so great because this is, I think, the beginning of all that big bunch that we've been waiting for. And I think as we get closer and closer to the 50th, we're going to be seeing more and more of these opening up. Okay, guys, so if you want to get in touch with the show, share your ideas, tell us what you like about Epcot, or if you don't like anything, we'd like to hear about that too. Send them to, you know what, Jimmy? Tell everybody how to get in touch with the show.
You can email us at questions at thedisneynerdspodcast.com and email us individually at ed@thedisneynerdspodcast.com, jimmy@thedisneynerdspodcast.com, etc. You can send us a message on Facebook to the page, The Disney Nerds Podcast. Join our group, Disney Nerds, Instagram at The Disney Nerds Podcast, and Twitter at The Disney Nerds. Make sure to check out the website, www.thedisneynerdspodcast.com. And watch the live stream every Tuesday night at 9 o'clock Walt Disney World time.
Okay, so that's it for the show, guys. Thank you so much for listening. We really appreciate you coming by each week. For Melissa, for Lisa, this is Ed, and we're the Disney Nerds. And we'll see you next week. Bye-bye.
TTFM. Ta-ta for now.
So long, everybody.
If you would like to join our jamboree, there's a simple rule that's compulsory. Mortals pay a token fee. Rest in